Well, welcome everyone. This is Tom Sparrow, the chair of the SIO, and this is our annual membership meeting happening in August of 2015. And our agenda tonight is we're just going to go through the things that our group has been up to, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what are possibilities for the future, how do we envision ourselves, where do our interests lie, what can we do that won't burn us out but will actually energize us. And to get us started is just one of the nuts and bolts pieces that we need to do is be fiscally sound. And Tricia is our current treasurer, and she's just going to start by giving us a little report from the treasurer's office.
Okay. Well, this is Tricia speaking, and we are fiscally sound, so that's the good news. We tend to...
Thank
also,
you, Tricia.
I'm just really, really good. I just have to say... I'm just really, really good at being treasurer. I just have to say that to my colleagues.
Everybody, this is kind of inside joke.
It is.
Because
it is,
Tricia's family thinks it's hysterical that she's treasurer.
They think that there's something wrong with this group that you've allowed me to do this. But in very broad picture here, most of our expenses tend to come from when, you know, like the pre-conference. That was true last year, true again this year. We do have, like, some administration fees, and we have, like, some small computer fees and things like that. So as of December 31st, 2014, year end, we had $8,236 in our balance. Now, I don't know how that relates to other SIGs. I don't know if that's important or not, but I think it's a fairly substantial number. Again, we tend to have not a lot of expenses. As of June 30th, so just this, you know, six-month mark, we were up a bit, $9,663. And this had to do largely, I think I would say, with membership fees coming in from our new members, et cetera. Now, that number, the 9663, does not reflect the expenses we just had. As mentioned, that's often where our expenses fall. When we do the pre-conference at the national conference. So we had a speaker who was very successful, Annette Simmons, well-known, attracted, I think, were there 25 or 28 people in the room, and actually she had asked for a maximum of 25, but I think we actually exceeded that a little bit. So it was a really, really interesting session. In addition to her doing that session for us, she also did a conference call, you know, so we really benefited tremendously from her expertise. So her, we had a fee for her, a speaking fee and an expense fee, and she was kind enough to get us all this recently. So with that, our real time, and this has not been settled yet because the bills haven't been paid, but once that is, that'll bring us down to about $6,666. So again, right now we're at roughly nine thousand six hundred. We have a couple of bills out there, and it'll take us down to roughly about 6,600. And I think that's it.
Thanks, Tricia. Open that up for questions. There's other details, as Tricia said, of kind of the nitty gritty of what we pay and when it comes in. But, you know, roughly we have $6,000 by the time December 31st comes around with new membership. We'll probably be up somewhere close to $7,000. Mm-hmm. So we did spend more this year than we made. But that's what it takes to get the caliber of speaker that we brought in. Any questions? Just a quick comment. We've thought about, you know, well, you certainly couldn't sustain spending more than you have every year. And we wanted to keep the funds fairly substantial in our account. So we were thinking, you know, in other years we would do different types of things rather than bring in
a more expensive speaker. And some of the speakers are extremely expensive, and I don't think we could afford them. But, you know, spending $3,000 this year was not like spending $15,000, which is one of the other speakers that we looked at. That's what he quoted us.
Right. And again, the speaker's fee was $2,500, and we had a half-day session, and again, the you know, the conference call, you know, and then
yeah.
you know, and then expenses. Speakers' fees can go extremely high, as I'm sure people
yeah.
are aware. And again, thank you, Tom. We do tend to try to vary it. So I don't have the numbers at my fingertips, but I know we spent less last year. There was a decision made this year that we wanted to go with Annette. She is well known. She's a name, and the feedback from folks who attended was very positive. So in a way, it was seen as we're investing to make sort of like, not to put us on the map, but to make people maybe a heightened awareness of SIO, which I, you know, think is really good.
Great.
So,
well, thank you, Tricia. One more chance for questions if we have that, or we'll move on.
I think we're done, Tom. I don't think there are any questions.
I'll just add a comment. I just think Annette is definitely an excellent speaker, and, you know, in storytelling, we always say we are worthy of our fees. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, I'm sure that, yes, to get a quality person, you're a caliber speaker, as you said, then I think we have to be concerned about the price, but I think we also have to know that it's going to cost money.
Thank
That's my
you.
Comment.
Yeah, I agree. And just a footnote, actually, Tom was instrumental. The fee, I think you negotiated with her, and we came up with that number from a higher fee. Is that correct, Tom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
she worked with us.
She worked with us. That's a good way of putting it. She worked with us.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
I want to give a little website update. This is Tom again. And it's been a bit of a hike revising our website. 2 years ago, nothing had been done on the website basically for about 8 years. So we've totally revised the website, but it still has some older material on there. But it's becoming more used. And one of the things we're working on is getting all the StoryLab recordings up on the website so that people can just go and hit on the play button and listen to those without having to do a phone call to listen to it. So that's coming. And this year we had a white paper, and Dave helped me with both of the papers that were written, the white paper and then kind of a blog post that on the website, and some of the people who were in the leadership group before us called Stories from the Road. I think that's it. And so we're looking for other people who would like to share either a white paper or some kind of snippet of their practice or some analysis of something that's going on in storytelling, and put those things on to the website as a service to our members to help, you know, get the word out about what different people do. I think that may be just enough to say about the website. We'll continue to work on that. One little thing I was going to say is that when we did our survey, we did a survey in the end of the winter, spring, there were a lot of people who said that they, so out of, I think we had 30 or 40 people who took part in the survey, there were quite a number, more than 10, who said they'd be willing to write something for the website. So that's an area that has a lot of potential for our SIO group. And we could use somebody who really wanted to spend more time at that And that possibly could be me, but if there's somebody else who's interested in that, that's an area. And Dave, I know you and I have worked a little bit on it, especially of the writing pieces, and that's possibly something you and I could continue. But, you know, Cora, Nancy, Bill, if that's an area that you're interested in, is, you know, the posting of written pieces, just let me know, and I'd like to work with other people on that.
And I agree with you. This is Dave. I write probably 2 or 3 academic articles a year on storytelling or narratives, and you and I worked on that one with it that I thought came out pretty good to edit it. So, yeah, I enjoy doing those types of things.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great. Thanks, Dave. And then, Mark, will you we're going to transition out of the website unless – are there any other questions or comments?
Okay, well, then let's go ahead and build a bridge from the website to, you know, our actual meetings and our story labs. So if you look at our website, you'll see that there's a specific tab called Story Labs. And Story Labs, you know, about 10 times a year, so about once a month, almost once a month, we like to get together and participate in a story lab call. And a story lab call is where they're about 45 minutes, and they include at least one core story that has some sort of relevance or application to an organization in leadership or, you know, culture, et cetera. And we like to mix it up a bit. We like to have a variety of guests share their background, their insight, their experience, and how they, you know, got to using stories in organizations. Some cases they're authors, they're people like Annette, as we talked about, and sometimes they'll take a unique approach. With the one that Annette did, it was really more conversational after the pre-conference, and it was really kind of cool because it was a very different format than we've used before, where we've had, you know, authors maybe who have talked about how they've, you know, how they promote story in organizations, or we've had executive leaders talk about why they use story as a way to influence and lead others. And the best part about the Story Labs, besides being on them and in them and leading one, is the fact that we've been archiving these for a couple of years now. And so we have, you know, well over 24 labs that are in our data bank, so that anybody that comes to join our group can easily have access to that and learn from the past experiences that we have. And it's a great way to get multiple different perspectives from, you know, people just like us who are vested in learning more about stories and organizations. Tom?
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. And again, on our survey, this was another area that a lot of people had interest, that they would either be a guest for one of our Story Lab calls, or they would host one of the Story Lab calls, or they have ideas for guests that we might have. So that's another area that if people are interested in working in that, kind of open-ended, I think somebody from the leadership team is going to head that up this year. And that's not yet decided, but it's certainly one that more than one person could be involved in that, because it's one of the primary things that we do. And then, Pete, if you could just talk a little bit about the pre-conference.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, all right. Well, the pre-conference is a is something that takes, it's a half-day workshop that takes place the day before the National Storytelling Conference takes place. So we had our pre-conference this past year with Annette Simmons, and once I got over being starstruck, I really loved what she had to say. And there were some generalizations, but I did take a lot of notes. The human need for certainty led to religions, which were supported by stories. And a religion or organization has two groups, the dogma dudes, You have to follow the rules and the mystics, the story keepers, the storytellers. And that said that Jesus was a storyteller, and Jesus was asked 183 questions in the Bible. I'm not sure she went through and counted them all, but she said that Jesus only answered two or three of them directly, and the rest were answered with parables, you know, stories. And that is that's quite the thing. Use your brokenness to improve your storytelling. She gave us an assignment to look up some TED Talks on YouTube with Breen Brown, who did The Courage to Be Imperfect. Annette said that people who have everything going for them don't become seekers. And one thing she said that I really took note of was, if all you do is show an organization how stories reveal culture, you've done a great service. So that is one of the things that I took away from that. And organizations need a ritual for storytelling, a kind of a mystical experience. And that is so true. It was a great pre-conference. I'm really, really tickled that we had her there. For folks who don't know Annette, she has written several books, The Story Factor, Whoever Tells the Best Story Wins, Territorial Games, A Safe Place for Dangerous Truths, and we live in a world that could use a safe place for dangerous truths. Anyway, it was a wonderful pre-conference, and the folks there got a lot out of it.
Yeah. Thank you, Pete. This is another area that we'll be deciding what pre-conference we want to offer next year. So Cora or Nancy or any of us that wanted to have input into that, we'll be forming a little group that will make those decisions of if it will be just one person that will present the pre-conference, or if we'll have some people have suggested that we have a panel, but we might not have a panel. We could have possibly two speakers. It could be done a number of ways. So that's an opportunity if somebody's interested in that. Then there's another aspect in Molly, our board liaison, was going to talk about this, but she's flying today and her flight got delayed, and then right now she's in the air, so she can't talk. But our new executive director, Robert Barrientos, he has proposed that there be like a pre-conference. And the pre-conference, the pre-conference, the thing he's suggesting would go out actually into the community. And it wouldn't be something just that the SIO group does, but the Healing Story Alliance would do, and the YES group that works with youth would do. And we would do some kind of program, not yet defined, in the community, in a place appropriate for our particular SIG. So we would probably be at either a nonprofit or some corporate place, and we would offer some storytelling and some thoughts about storytelling and organization, and people from the community would be invited in for that event. Part of the idea is that the people who are involved in that are getting exposure. They might possibly get work out of it. And also, it may draw people into our pre-conference session as well as this pre-conference session. If somebody's interested in that, this is another area of something that we're going to be doing this year, most likely. And Robert is trying to write a grant for it. But even if the grant didn't happen, you know, it might be very interesting to contact like United Way or some organization and ask them, would they like it? You know, and we could have a little core team of storytellers and organization that go and share some stories and some thoughts, lead some exercises. We'd have to define what we want to do. But part of that could be what the organization wants as well. So that's another area that people could be involved in. Just a couple more things, and then we'll open it up for general comments and suggestions. This next area is just our board roles. And I think everybody on this call knows that we're going to switch around some of our titles and try to define a little bit more who's going to be involved in what as this next year comes. And it's quite likely that Tricia is going to become our vice chair, and Mark, who's our vice chair, is going to become our chair, and I, whom our current chair, am going to become an advisor, or I'm interested in the communication end of things, so possibly I'll be the advisor in charge of communication direction or something like that. Tricia has been fulfilling the role of secretary treasurer, and it's a two-pronged job. And we thought, you know, if we have the interest, it would be nice to have that broken out so that we have a secretary and we have a treasurer. And then we have room for more advisors. Part of the model for this is the HSA group, which is the largest SIG in our organization that has more than 100 members. And they have like a dozen people on their leadership board. So I looked at that and I thought, wow, the group that was before us had three people on the leadership group. And I thought, well, we want more than that. And we were fortunate enough when we took over from them to have four of us. And then we've had Jules join us, so we have five of us, and Molly's really involved, so we have six of us. And then Dave has expressed interest, Cora's expressed interest, Nancy's expressed interest. So that gets us a little bit of a larger group if we all come together on the board. And, you know, it's possible Bill might join the board as well. I think to be on the board is mainly that you're a person who's interested in our group and you want to do some part of the work of organizing the group. And it's always been my opinion that the work you should do is the work that feeds you, the work that you're interested in and enlivens you, rather than just work because we have to follow some structures and take care of these things for our membership. I think that, you know, there's maybe a little bit of that, but I think we should only do things that interest us. And that way we won't become burned out, which has been a problem for other leadership teams in the SIO group. So that's the gist of our meeting, and I just open it up right now for any comments or questions that people might have or suggestions.
Tom, this is Bill. I will jump in and agree with you on your very last statement there, that you have to be doing something that you really feel is feeding you. Otherwise, you'd get burned out. And that's kind of why I said that initially I would like to not get too heavily involved, because I'm coming off of that experience at the chamber that I'm involved in. It's become
right.
A little overwhelming over the last 6 months as I've been trying to do my own work as well as the work of the chamber. So, you know, definitely, I think it's definitely a good point. And while I will be willing to dip my toe into the pool here to help where possible, you know, I will throw my name in, and but I need to see where I fit. So.
Sure. Well, thanks, Bill. I should also say what kind of the main thing that the board members do is they try to attend the Story Lab calls, and then right after a Story Lab call, we have a board meeting. So that way you only have just one spot on your calendar that you need to keep open for our group a month. And truthfully, our meetings sometimes go an hour. We try to keep them shorter than that. But when it gets into the pre-conference season or decision-making, they sometimes have to go longer. We have, you know, had some very short members or board meetings that only last, you know, 10, 15 minutes. So that's the main thing, is that once a month you try to attend our Story Lab calls, which is really the benefit of the group, because we have so many interesting people, and it's a chance to just soak in what they have to share with us. And then we talk a little bit about the business of keeping the group going, which is mainly what are we going to do for our next month's Story Lab call. But we might be able to do that in a more organized fashion this upcoming year. Other questions or comments or suggestions? Okay, then I know Mark has to be done fairly soon, and I want to have a little time for story. I had put that note out if anybody had a story that they'd like to share, that would be a possibility at this time, or I have one ready too if no one else has one that they want to share. Did anybody come up?
This is Cora, and as I said in my email, I'm like very new to this because I just retired and I've done story part time, and I'm going to start full time. But I'm definitely interested in participating in one of these places. But and I agree also with you and Bill about having something that feeds you. But I certainly want to be a part of the group if there's a place for me. And I would just like to talk to you about it more in detail. I took notes during the meeting, so I want to look through all the – and then again, we also need, and then again, we also need. I have all that written down. So I'm going to look it over, and I'll be back in touch with you. And I really enjoyed the call, and I'm happy waiting for your story.
Right. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Cora. And Nancy, I know that you're interested too, and you and I have tentatively scheduled that we're going to talk on Thursday. And also, Dave, I know that you have expressed some interest as well. So we can continue our email information. And the existing board has the obligation of deciding what the next board will be. That's in our bylaws. So that's part of our job, is to figure out who we can offer what spot to. And so we're finding out who's interested in what, and then we'll, you know, see if we can configure the board. And if it doesn't work the first time, we'll reconfigure it. But certainly we have a lot of good interest here, and I think we're in good shape to put together the strongest board perhaps that this group has ever had, certainly the strongest board that this group has had in 8 years or so. Anybody else?
Tom, it's Jules here. Do you want me to give any updates? And I do have a little coincidental story from last week, my highway trail.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jules. Yes, please give your update.
Okay. Well, the update on the one-to-one initiative that we started about a month ago or so, it's kind of a current-day tale because, like many associations, we share a lot on the system. At one point, we had a wonderful survey that went out that Tom sent. We collected data. We answered questions on all of us answered, and then time lapsed. And some of us forgot what we answered, the fact that we were interested in meeting more people and doing one-to-one. So we've been slowly but surely prompting and reminding people that they uttered those words or they wrote their words in their survey results. And slowly but surely, we are meeting people. I myself is meeting Nancy tomorrow morning, and we have a lot in common. Same graduate degrees. She teaches at my alma mater, and lots of interesting coincidences, you know, using humor in our work. So I'm sharing that you have slowly started to come together, and as I gaze at my spreadsheet very fondly, I know that Trish has had dinner with Bill, and that the conference, you all met each other. You might not even know you were linked to each other, but you were at least in the same room, and I'm good to go on that. So as you come together and you make these contacts, please let me know, because I would be wildly happy, and we will find out what we can learn and share. So it's coming together little by little. Some things due to systems, some things due to lapse and the summer, but we will get there. And I want to just segue into, you just don't know who you're connected to. Can I jump in, mm-hmm. Tom, and just
yes.
Add a little?
Yeah.
You know, I was on the highway, and I've been traveling a lot lately, and you never know who you're talking to. And I have an article I wrote last week about one more question. One more question can open up a whole door of opportunities. So fast forward, Peru, standing at 11,000 height feet, I turned to somebody, and we're chatting about tourism, and we ask, what do you do? Ends up the guy lives in the next town. He's in search. We have common people. This is in Peru. Go to another place. The guy that we're talking to is Irish. Grew up next to somebody my husband recruited for a track team at Manhattan College and competed. Now it gets better. You know, I had a horrible commute up on the highway. Well, coming back, horrible traffic, we're dead stop, we are stuck there for a terrible accident for 3-4 hours, basically. We're parked on this highway. I turn to one guy and say, you know what's going on? We start chatting, it ends up, out of the 1,000 people on this highway, he works with my husband at the high school.
Oh my God.
Harry, turn to the other guy and walk in. He saw me chatting. He's been pacing up and down in front of his car, and he tells me, this is my last day at work. He was transitioning because Novartis is leaving the area, a pharmaceutical company. But it was the craziest thing, because when I shared this story later with somebody who's going to be a speaker at one of the events I'm hosting, he said, I probably know that guy. I taught at his company, et cetera, et cetera. So here in this space of a few-minute conversations, it was a matter of one more question and a little more connection and a little more reveal that we're so close. We're only sometimes one person away or one question away from connecting. So it's my rough and red. It's not a real story, but I thought I'd share because I thought it was really crazy. And the fact in this highway, I'm stuck and I'm like networking between the cars while we're waiting. But not networking, but just spontaneously chatting, I should say, and just finding out we were connected within a space of a few feet. So there you go.
Yeah,
that's my conclusion.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you, Jewel.
Okay.
Yeah,
can I make an spontaneous report? This is Geraldine. I met with my one-to-one in Kansas City. We had a lovely lunch and several other conversations. So Paula Younger.
You're going on the list.
Yeah.
Going with a check mark now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Tom, before you get started, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. I'm looking forward to next month's call, and everybody have a great month. Take care.
Thank you so
yes.
much.
Bye, Mark. Thank
Bye
you.
Now, Mark.
Great. Any other stories people want to share or comments? Well, then I'll go ahead and share this story. This is a little collection of original ghost stories for workplaces that I've been brainstorming. And this story is entitled The Deadline. Brenda was working as quickly as she could on her report that she knew she would not turn in late. It was 8:10, and the report had to be filed by 8. She was on the final page, and she knew that her report had insights into it that nobody else had thought of. She would not be late. She was working as quickly as she could, and she thought she was by herself, but in fact, she wasn't by herself. Huddled in her cubicle, pounding on her keys, finishing her report in the open space that they called it in her office, there was another person there. His name was Brent. And Brent was dead to everyone in that office. And Brent would occasionally come back to his old office and just look at the cubicles, stare at the screens, sometimes peer into the drawers and look for personal information that he might somehow use. Brenda was now finished with the report. It was 5 minutes to 8. She was going to file this one on time. She would not be fired. She had an evaluation just recently, and in the evaluation, it was pointed out that she was almost always late with her reports, and so they decided in the next 90 days, if she was late once more, she would be fired, but she would not be fired. She had a great report that she was filing, filled with extra research that she had done. She was now just reading through, making, oh, there was a typo. She highlighted it and quickly corrected it. She continued down. Brent was standing at the foot of the cubicle looking in. And now he went down onto the floor and slithered towards Brenda. Brent could move almost effortlessly. After he was fired and he had gone to the bridge and he had sat on the edge of the bridge for a long time, not just 15 or 20 minutes, but 6 hours. And truthfully, he just got bored, and he decided to do it, and he jumped off the bridge, just kind of slid himself off, and he hit the water and died instantly. He hated the people in that office, and Brenda herself had continually bad-mouthed him, said that his research was faulty, his grammar was imperfect, but now he was at Brenda's feet, and he touched her ankle. It was 2 minutes to 8. Brenda felt a shiver, a cold spot on her leg, but she would not lose her focus. She had to keep reading. She had one more page to go. She was going to file this report on time. And Brent, he smiled as he looked at those legs that he had often admired, but he had something better in mind, and he grasped the cord and pulled it. And suddenly the computer screen went black, and Brenda said, what? She screamed out. She smashed her fist down onto the desk. She hit her keyboard. She hit the escape bar. What was going on? What was going on? No, no, she had not backed up. Well, she looked down. She saw that the computer was unplugged. She plugged it back in, and she said, please, God, please, God, please, God. And the screen came up very slowly. The clock began to chime, bong, bong, bong. Her applications came up onto the screen, bong, bong. Her document, yes, document, come, oh, shoot. An error message. She had lost her document. It was past 8. She was late. She was as good as fired. She grabbed her purse. She grabbed her coat. She stood up, and she walked out of her cubicle, and just as she did, she felt a terrible chill. She walked out of the office feeling ill. But if she had only seen Brent, Brent had the biggest smile on his face. And when Brenda walked right through him, that made his night. And that's our story for tonight.
That's horrible.
Oh, God. I was anxious just listening to it.
I know.
On the computer, and I'm like, I started backing up these notes.
It's safe.
You should have saved that for one more month, and that would have been a great, scary story for Halloween.
I know.
That's the most frightening thing I've heard.
We've all lived it. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah. My idea was and is, and I'm working with this, is that I'm trying to develop a series of these stories that would all have like a business message in them that are very simple, and that there could be possibly some discussion starter. But so what do you get from that story? I'd just be interested to see. And I know Tricia said that she's already backing up her material.
I am. I did.
Are there any other business lessons that you see in that?
Definitely the way you treat your fellow employees and everyone else around you when you're working. We sometimes overlook that.
Hmm. It'll come back and haunt you. And you're right, that person could make a difference sometimes in your...
I'm not waiting to the last minute.
That too.
Oh, come on now.
You never
did. That would just...
Yeah.
That was an excellent story.
Yeah, I liked a lot. I liked the way you told it too. You know, it was vivid, and you could see it, and the slithering, and walking through him, and the legs he had admired. There were just things that made me chuckle. You know, as I go through. And also their names, Brenda and Brent. So it's like Brent, like part of Brenda's psyche. Is Brenda really crazy? But I got a little dark there. So.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you, everybody. Any closing questions or comments? Well, then we'll end this. Was there something there?
No, I was going to say, like, I think a series would be interesting because you captured the thing that we've all worked late. I mean, I remember letting out this enormous scream when the cleaning people came past my office and turned the light on. You know, like, it just, and then you wonder, oh, then I never knew, like, we've all been in an office. Well, I did this. Where I was working, I came in on the weekend, and I didn't realize I didn't know where the timer was on the lights. So, you know, that you're just capturing how scary it can be when you're thinking, nobody will find me. It'll be days. So, yeah, you pictured American corporate horror stories there. Mm. Will work. So, awesome.
Thank you. Great, everybody. Well, sleep well and make your dreams.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Yeah. And we'll be in touch with everybody through email and phone calls. And our board transition will actually occur in October. So we have this month of the rest of August, but in September, we'll just kind of put out a proposal of how we think the board will look and then formalize that in October. So thanks again. Everybody's got my email and phone numbers if you need it. Thanks so much, and good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.